The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We're heading to Alabama now and talk to Brendan Quinn from The Athletic. He's covering that regional, and we'll talk to him about that in just a moment. I want to find out about some news about Brandon Miller today. But Brendan did a story the other day that everybody is talking about in the sports world under the heading, "What's it like to be an official in the final moments of a huge game?" I was dead and right. Talk to some officials in various sports about that big moment when you have to make the call that will determine a national championship. Brendan, thank you for the time. Appreciate it very, very much. We'll get to what's happening tomorrow and Saturday in a moment. But talk about the reporting and the process that you went through putting this story together. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul. Yeah, it was kind of an idea that came up top at the Athletic. We're fortunate enough to have writers covering so many sports and in so many places that, we compiled this together. It was myself and Michael Russo and Bruce Feldman, Stephen Nesbitt, a few others who just talked to everyone from, Kerry Frazier to Dave Jackson to Dale Scott, the old MLB umpire. It was great. Just kind of getting very few current active officials wanted to talk about this. It was more the retired guys were willing to kind of dive into what that feels like to be, on the court or on the field or on the ice when there is 2 minutes left in a game, and there's a stoppage of play. And just like the players, when you really think about it, the referees are going through the same thing of thinking like, man, something might happen here that I have to make the call. And as one guy kind of described it, like you realize you can get into a moment where there's going to be a call that if it's wrong ends up in, the first two paragraphs of your obituary, basically. And we were fascinated by it. It was a really fun process. I had a number of college basketball voices in there, which is kind of obviously my area, and it was really especially interesting speaking to John Cockerty, who is
well. I want to ask you about that because that's one of the most famous calls or bad calls. It was a national championship game a little more than 30 years ago. Set that up for us and tell us what he told you.
Yeah, so 1989. Anyone remembers Michigan, Seton Hall, Vermeil Robinson. Is driving the length of the court, kind of hesitates a little bit at the three-point line and drives down the middle of the lane, and Gerald Green from Seton Hall was in his vicinity and the whistle blew and John Cockerty called a reach-in foul, sending Vermeil Robinson to the line for two game-winning free throws. And Vermeil, you might remember better than me, Paul, but he was like a 60% free throw shooter.
Right.
And he just towed the line and just banged both of them, won the national championship for Michigan. And, you watch the play now, and it's just, he missed it. And so I was able to track down John, and we talked about it, and, we're now, whatever it is, 30, 40 years removed from it. And, he's comfortable talking about, the call because he still trusts what he saw that day. And I found that most interesting. Like he doesn't feel like he blew the call because he called what he thought he saw. Right. And that's one of the fascinating things about officiating is, no one's ever going to willfully make the wrong call unless they're on the take, but you do have to give a degree of human compassion for someone thinking that they see something and reacting to it and making a call or not making a call and that ending up being the deciding factor in a game that takes it out of the athlete's hand.
Brendan Quinn with us from The Athletic, in addition to contributing to this really amazing piece in The Athletic, he's in Birmingham covering the big regional there, first and second rounds, where you have two number ones, especially Alabama. And Brendan, I want to talk about that today because Nate Oates addressed it. There's a lot of national news about something that has nothing to do with the court. But tell us what you learned along with your colleagues about Brandon Miller today being accompanied by, if I read this correctly, an armed guard.
Yeah. So the anyone that kind of followed along last week saw the line of questioning that Brandon Miller received at the SEC tournament. So I think that was kind of the real chance that people had to kind of ask specific questions and, you know, that he had to kind of stand there and take it and answer them as best he could. This time around, you know, like this is not just going to be a repeat of the same old questions. I think everyone knows that he's been coached up fairly, you know, fairly well to not, you know, say anything out of turn or anything like that. So nothing directly came from Brandon Miller himself. But yeah, you know, there was a security guard with Brandon Miller that kind of accompanied him to the press conference, and he was asked about, and Nate Oates was asked about it, and basically said, you know, there's been a number of messages and things that the athletic department has received that gave them reason to think additional security is involved. So, you know, is it that stunning or surprising? I don't think so, but it was in terms of, you know, anything new out of that situation, now that Alabama's moving on to the NCAA tournament, that would be it.
Brendan, I don't want to classify you because when you're Alabama and Houston as well, there's always a lot of national media at the NCAA tournament. At Birmingham, in fact, I'm guessing has attracted the lion's share because of the story. But in terms of what Alabama is facing now, we heard it was going to be much different once we got to this tournament. I realize you're jumping on this train now, but what was it like today with Brandon Miller, and what do you think we're going to expect? Because I wonder, and a lot of fans wonder, how many times can you ask the same question?
Yeah, I think we're at that point already. There were only a handful of national writers here for today's festivities. On my way here, you know, I went and reread everything that's been written. I went and read the transcripts of press conferences, and I'm sitting there saying, I don't think there's anything else to really ask about here, right? So I didn't have any further questions to ask. I think it's kind of at the point where it's the boil has boiled, and it's kind of just returning to a simmer in terms of, like, when Alabama walks in the room, it is an event, and everyone wants to ask about it. Everyone wants to talk about it and columnize. And I'm not saying that's over with. People are still going to write columns. People are still going to try to analyze everything that's going on with Alabama and, you know, get into the kind of morality play that is accompanying everything. However, yeah, today was not some spectacle by any means. And people, you know, pointing fingers or demanding answers about this or that. Like, it seems like what's going to be said has been said. And until there's anything new or different or revealed, whatever it may be, I don't know how many times you can keep asking Brandon Miller the same question that he's just going to respond that he's leaning on his teammates, because that's really all it gets you. Nate Oates, the Alabama administration as well, probably a little bit of a different story. I think there's still some things that can be talked about there, asked about there, but Brandon Miller as an individual, who obviously made a terrible decision in this case, that's really what it boils down to. He made a terrible decision, and him personally, you know, that's he'll get whatever consequences he gets from it. But I'm kind of with you that I don't think there is much more to keep kind of pounding the door question-wise or sticking microphones in people's faces.
Brendan, finally, on a much lighter note, you never know when you land in a city, when you do what we all do, and you get an Uber or a Lyft driver, and sometimes they don't communicate, and sometimes it turns out to be a pretty funny story. Take us through your morning in Birmingham.
Oh, man, it was great. Got in yesterday afternoon and just popped into a Lyft, and started going around. And, you know, my driver's decked out in Alabama gear. So I just asked out of curiosity, hey, are you a big fan or something? And he said, well, you know, I kind of played there and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, his name was Perry White. I don't know how much Perry actually played. Perry might have been, like, on the practice squad or something. I think they gave him a uniform. I don't know how much he was actually out there. But, yeah, as it turned out, he was at Alabama in the mid-70s, tight end, so for played under Bear Bryant. Missed the championship teams, but, you know, he was all right with it. And I said, you know, okay, did you play any pro ball? Said, no, I got into music, which was an interesting turn, and went on to tell me that he got into being an Elvis impersonator and traveled around the South as an Elvis impersonator and, you know, just singing in nightclubs and doing his thing. And hardest part was trying to find affordable jumpsuits. And, you know, he's just 69 years old, and the ride itself was, what, 15, 18 minutes, though? And it was just one of the more fascinating conversations you get in a 15-minute window where you meet the former Alabama player who turned into an Elvis impersonator, and he's just dropping you off at the media hotel in Birmingham. It's one of the beautiful things about travel. It's really one of the beautiful things about when you actually open your mouth and talk to people and find out where they're from and what they've done.
And you ended up all shook up. Brendan, I had a similar experience. I had a basketball player pick me up once, taking me to Tuscaloosa. So, it is amazing. And it's to his credit that after all these years, I guess it's hard to move. It's hard to do Elvis at 69. I guess it really isn't hard to do a 69-year-old Elvis at 69, but pretty fascinating. Hey, thanks for making time for us. Enjoy, the tournament, and we really appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Paul. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Great stuff. Brendan Quinn from The Athletic. One day when things are quiet, we'll do our favorite Uber driver story, and I'm sure that will last at least until the first commercial. We will be back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. As we continue here, let's continue with more phone calls. And Dale is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
So, I got home from work, come in the house, open the beer, turn the TV on, expecting to see the Paul Feinbaum show. But then I get the Jimmy Swaggart Hour instead. I had to check the channel to make sure I didn't screw up.
My brother, there's so many jokes I could tell there, but I won't.
Hey, there for a minute, I expected to see, you know, tears streaming down your cheeks, Paul.
Jimmy Swaggart, who I think didn't he do a show out of Baton Rouge? I believe he did. There's always this battle between Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and Ernest Angley, but I don't know if anybody could cry faster than Jimmy Swaggart.
I know, right? So, hey, I got a quick question, Paul. Then I'll hang up. So, Jalen Carter really didn't do a good job today.
Yeah, I'm trying to get inside Jalen Carter's head, going, think, okay, I got the biggest moment of my career.
I think all this has something.
Let me go
out
and gain 10 pounds and be out of shape for while every NFL head coach is watching me.
That probably cost him millions of dollars.
Well, first of all, right before his previous appearance at the combine, the arrest comes out, and I mean, I'm not sure what Jalen Carter can do to try to become a fifth round pick any more than he's already done.
Right. Well, we'll see. I still think he goes pretty high, but
no, he will.
I think this really hurt him.
Yeah, it just makes no sense at all. Hey, thank you, Dale. Appreciate the call. Glad you're enjoying a beer right now. We might have one ourselves. Kevin is up next in St. Louis. So hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great.
Yeah, I want to echo the last caller's comment that I'd like to actually talk about sports and not listen to any more of a biblical lesson today. So I hope you feel the same way.
Right on, brother.
A couple segments ago, you had a Kentucky fan on there complaining about Coach Cal. And I got a little retort to that. I'm a big Kentucky fan, dying a wolf, but I'm not blind. And, it's interesting to me is all these Kentucky fans that have been all over Cal for years, they don't understand still what his objective is every year. And that's very clear, is get the best players he can and try to meld them together, knowing they're not going to be together for very long. If you take a look at the NBA, no other college has more people in the NBA than Kentucky. So I guess my parting comment is, if he left or if they ran him out, who's better or who could at least do as well as he could? I say keep him. He's doing as good a job as he can, and go Big Blue.
Thank you very much for your call. Vance is up next. Hey, Vance.
Hey, pal, how you doing?
We are doing well, thank you.
I've also got a cold beer in front of me.
You are making me uncomfortable right now.
Well, I'm not in Larry's league, but this isn't my first one.
Yeah, by the way, I need somebody to answer. Is it okay for me to drink while we're on the air, or is that verb?
Well, isn't it
shouldn't
your
there be
show?
Like a true drink minimum? Yeah.
Well, hell, Bear Bryant never drank any of that Coke. He had something
you're
else
right.
to drink on his
Nobody
show.
Ever said, hey, Bear, you're not supposed to drink on TV. I mean, he didn't care.
Hey, look at it this way. You got to be careful, seeing as they bounced your show down here for girls' spring softball Monday. So you're
Vance,
not the boss.
Vance, there is an explanation for that, and I know the game was scheduled the day before, and they had to make it up somehow, and they made it up right where you said they made it up.
Well, you know what? Monday's over now. Paul, I'm not educated enough on collegiate basketball to make a contribution about the tournament.
Okay.
And that's just a fact. I've watched Alabama play two games this year, and they lost them both, so I decided I was a jinx, and I quit. And so I just wanted to say, and I'm wrong for doing this. You know, your last caller had the right point, but, I learned something a long time ago. Like, I was not in the Navy. I was in another branch of the service. However, the Navy had rules about when you're aboard ship, and especially if you're in the board room, meaning up in the, up there in the tower and you're the hierarchy, you don't talk politics. You don't talk about women, and you don't talk about religion. And the reason why, you're out there at sea, you can't get away, and it's too volatile of a subject for people to talk about. And I just thought that was a very wise and smart thing to do. And I'll end with this. I'm really happy that Jesus Christ did not allow himself to be hammered to a cross only for the Jews, because those were his brothers, quotations. You get my meaning there?
Vance, I hear you loud and clear.
And, you know, I used to, and by the way, I don't think anybody, I don't believe there's such a thing as a good Christian, because none of us were good enough, or once again, he would not have gotten hammered to a cross. So, you know, that's not what he teaches. And I don't understand that this onslaught from Jim, who I just thought he was a little deeper than this. I don't understand it, and obviously it's made a lot of callers uncomfortable. And like I said, I shouldn't contribute to it because he's getting more attention than he's worth, but I just couldn't help myself.
I understand that, and I appreciate your intent with what you said, either subliminally or over the top. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Roy, who is up next. Hello, Roy.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
Roy, we are doing well. Thank you.
You know, I've been listening to you since Birmingham, and I just wanted to thank you, because I'm a retired nurse. I spend a lot of time having to rest, and it's very educational, your program.
Thank you.
You also are entertaining, of course. I laugh a lot and at some of the callers. But the thing, I guess, that's most on my heart is this. One is that you have a person calling who claims a certain knowledge of Christianity. And the only thing it is that Christians are only supposed to judge Christians. If you would read the book a little carefuller, we're only allowed to judge those people who believe the book the same way we do. I'm not allowed to judge you unless you say you're a professing Christian. And I'm only allowed to judge you by what the Word says and not my opinion. So I'm going to have to pray for him and hope the best for him. But mainly, I'm glad I finally got in and I got to thank you for all that you do. When you have the bishop on, when you have different people on, you minister through them in people's lives like myself, and I want to thank you very much.
Thank you for saying that, and thank you for calling. You be well, and we are coming back much more. It's been a busy one, many, many guests, a lot to digest, and we're coming back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. We continue here. It's been a busy one. We're 2.5 hours in. Legend is up next.
Woo! Black hat in the house. East Coast, baby. East Coast. Woo! Is it safe to come up in here, Paul? All the demons run off?
It is. Beware of who you think is your friend.
Oh, man, I could have told you that a long time ago. I could have told you that one. Hey, nobody hurts you worse than somebody you think that's a friend. They'll stab you in the back. Quick, quick. And Jim's a backstabber. If ever there was a backstabber, Jim Baker's a backstabber. Hey, Paul, heard that UK fan, Dennis, in the first hour give Alabama their credit. I thought that was good. The new Kentucky, baby. We done took this thing over. Hey, Paul, if Georgia's a dynasty of football, don't that make Alabama a dynasty of basketball now? We done won two of the last three SEC titles.
That is true.
That makes us an SEC champion, baby. I appreciate that as saying that. And I'll just say this right here, Paul. I won $100 on Pittsburgh last night, and I got no confidence in any SEC team getting out the first weekend but Alabama. I think the story on Monday morning is going to be the only SEC team left is Alabama. I don't see it, but I just don't see it, man. I don't even think Tennessee's going to beat Louisiana. I've seen Louisiana play a couple times this year. I'll just tell you now, Tennessee, it's bye-bye. Louisiana's going to call it right now. Louisiana's going to upset Tennessee. A&M, they got Penn State. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, A&M. It's over with. Should have went to the NIT. Should have went to the NIT. And how the hell did Missouri even get a seventh seed? I'm still trying to figure that one out. Did I miss something? How the hell did Missouri get a seventh seed? I just thought Utah State, goodbye, Missouri. Bye-bye. They're going too, Paul. They're going. Now, I do think Arkansas beat Illinois, but I think Kansas will beat Arkansas by 25 in the second round. I really do. Nick Smith Jr. is the most overrated point guard in the nation. I mean, he was so pathetic against A&M, I just quit watching the game at some point. I mean, he just threw that game. And I say this about Kentucky and Calipari, Paul. The problem with Calipari is he's got a Mike Bobo offense.
Dribble and drive.
He's got a boo-boo. He's got a boo-boo offense, Paul. I challenge you to watch Kentucky play Providence. And by the way, bye-bye, Kentucky. You going to. You ain't making it out of first weekend. You ain't making it out of first round. I'm calling it now. You got that Mike Boo-Boo offense down there. You run the same set every time. I've said it over and over. Calipari's the best damn recruiter in the nation. He's an excellent motivator, but the game has absolutely passed him by offensively. He runs that same boring set every time. The game has passed him by, and he needs to go to offense. He needs to go to Nate Oates Offensive School this summer. I promise you that right now.
Hey, by the way, baby. You have forgotten Auburn.
Oh, they got Iowa. Bye-bye, Auburn. I'm calling it, Paul. Monday morning, Alabama is the only SEC team left. It's not that I'm anti-SEC, but the truth of the matter is, I heard somebody say the other day, bet on the Big Ten and the SEC because they're the two best conferences in the nation. I said, that's bull crap. The SEC is one of the most overrated conferences in the nation. Alabama would be the only team in the Sweet 16. All these other teams are garbage, and we own them. We own them. Tennessee! Louisiana's going to take you out. I promise you, I've seen them play. They're going to take you out. They're going to take you out. And let me say this right here, too, Paul, something that really just is pissing me off, been pissing me off for a long time. I don't want to hear Kentucky basketball compared to Alabama football ever again. Forget it. It's a delusion. It's unintelligent. It's inaccurate. If I was to compare Kentucky basketball to anybody, I compare it to Texas football. You won a championship back when you had Vince Young as a quarterback, and you've been irrelevant since. We own it. We'll be the only team in the Sweet 16. Woo! I'm calling it, baby. Elvis has left the building.
Quite a bit to unload there. Let's continue. And Chip is up next. Hey, Chip, good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul, Lord have mercy. Have you had some calls today? I don't
yes,
see
sir.
How you handle it, sir.
Well, thank you. Give it a shot.
Well, I'm going to tell you where I'm at. I got two quick questions for you. Number one, in 2023, who are your top two teams in the Western Conference? And number two, are you going to be on the SEC Network pregame this coming up year?
Well, I certainly hope to be in the usual spot before the game.
I certainly hope so, too. Lord.
As far as the SEC West, as of today, and I'd like to know who the quarterback's going to be, but I would still pick Alabama to be the top team, followed by LSU.
Right. Well, you know, I hate to say this about Saban because I am a dyed-in-the-wool Georgia fan, but you know the old saying, you and I are close to the same age. You know, I know Saban's had some tough times here lately, but overall, you know, he can kind of take his'n and whoop yourn and yourn and took his'n.
He can.
You know, like to say. And it's gonna be an interesting year.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I tell you, I'm not close to settling on this, but I'm from what I'm hearing, I'm starting to like what I hear about A&M as well as a team that could crash, and maybe not the big party, but part of it. Hey, thank you very much for your call. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Cat Daddy is next.
Big Paul looking good and shining good as always. Look at him. I heard the Reverend Mac on the show earlier today. And I know I'm in that caller bracket thing you got set up, but I'd like to tell you, after hearing the Reverend Mac speak on your show today, I would like to concede my place in line. I don't even want to fight the man or argue with the man. He's a winner in my book, and he can have my spot and move on up there. And I hope he makes the number one, too.
Well, thank you. I think he's already in the field, but Myth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Myth. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Brother Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
I just would like to say Legends done lost his damn mind. You know, a guy from Kentucky gives Alabama props and he likes to say something. And then he comes back and starts talking down on the whole damn SEC, Paul. You know, the thing about it is he's a little bit out of his prime because, you know, he left Auburn out. You had to catch him on that. You know, when you lose your swag, kind of like he's lost his swag a little bit or his mind, and said the whole SEC is going to lose the first round, I got a problem with that.
Well, listen, I never have a problem with somebody's opinion. I happen to agree with you. I don't think you're going to see a mass movement to the Sweet 16, but I think the SEC will have a couple of teams in the Sweet 16. I think Alabama's automatic. I think Kentucky's certainly in a good spot. I think A&M could work their way in. Tennessee's in they're going to have to beat Duke, but they could still do it. So there's a lot of opportunity. Yeah. I mean, Arkansas people want to believe because they've done the Elite Eight 2 years in a row, but they're in a tricky. I mean, everybody, listen. This is the NCAA tournament. We're 24 hours away from what many are predicting to be chaos. So we will continue. Quick break. More to come. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and let's check in with Davis in Wisconsin. Hello, Davis.
G/D Father, Zephaniah 3:16-17. When God thinks about you, he sings. Mitch, Judas Priest. Jim from Louisville, you got another thing coming. Look out and try not to disappoint. Shalom.
So, Davis, going with Mitch in the caller breakdown. Let's check in with Mitch up next.
Who is Davis?
He obviously likes to employ the word shalom, which can be used as hello, goodbye.
I reckon. Well, thank you, Davis. Actually, Jim did he tried to be subliminally slick today, trying to put me in a box that I don't belong in, but that's okay. I've got my 2 degrees hanging on the wall to prove that I don't belong in that box. And listening to him is you know, listening to John is just like I said yesterday. Did he not? First thing he said, I want to compliment you on your interview.
Well, you understand, Mitch, the only way to get on the show in the first 15 minutes is to tell the screener that you're going to say great things about the host. We have the screen, we have the bracket up. That is the left side of the bracket, legend, the number one seed there, and you can just kind of go right down there. Mitch versus John. The Mitch-John first-round matchup game is drawing an inordinate amount of conversation. Hey, thank you, Mitch. Appreciate the call. I-Man is up next. Hello, I-Man.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum. You might as well go in and move John over. He won't make that. Mitch won't make the cut. You know, Paul, so this Woodstock bracket, if there was one artist doing one song from the Woodstock series, what would that be for you? If you could see that artist do that song.
Probably be, I don't know. I haven't listened to Woodstock in so long, I've lost track of what really stood out.
Well, mine would be Richie Havens doing Motherless Child.
I like Richie Havens.
And Freedom. Oh, I do too. I thought I was going to get a chance to see him in Birmingham about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6. He was doing a little solo show up there, but there was no way I could get up there.
I don't know if there's ever been anybody who interprets songs better than Richie Havens.
He does a fantastic job, and he's a very unique guitar player. He does a lot of open tunes, and he plays with his thumb draped over the top of the guitar neck, not using his fingers from underneath. It's fantastic. So the University of Alabama finds.
I've heard him do "Just Like a Woman" from Dylan. Here Comes the Sun.
He did the Beatles. He did a bunch of the Beatles, but he did a fantastic job on "Here Comes the Sun."
In such a unique way that.
He brings something to the table that's uniquely him.
Yeah.
And so the University of Alabama is hiring security guard. I wish they had got one for that little 5-year-old boy's mother.
I'm not being light about this, but they tried to hire Larry, but he wasn't available.
Well, he put that sleeper hold on him.
Yeah.
Paul, I had one more other thought. I must have left it at Woodstock. Have a good day.
It's a line been used too many times, and I miss Woodstock, but. The old line is, if you can remember the 60s, I-Man, you weren't there. Larry is up next in Homewood, Alabama. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Paul. How are you, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. I'm in your old stomping grounds right here in Homewood. It's a beautiful day, about 62.
Oh, wow.
Sunny. Is it? Beautiful. Perfect.
Used to drive through there every day of my life.
Yeah, I know you did. Hey, let me ask you this before I get to what I want to talk about. When did your wife graduate from Homewood? Because I graduated from Homewood.
She would have graduated late 70s.
Okay, I was 86.
Yeah, she would have been something like 79. That would be my best guess.
What was her maiden name, if you don't mind saying?
Hudson.
Okay, I bet you I know that family. I would be willing to bet because I've been here my whole life.
I mean, she does have. I mean, she has a brother a couple years older that would have. No, that would have gone the opposite direction of you. No, you. She was the last. She was the last of her siblings to graduate from Homewood.
Okay, I got
you. They went to Homewood High School, Oakmont Church, right around there.
Yeah. So I was 86, and then. I still live in Homewood. I live right behind Gian Marcos on South Forest Drive.
In fact, I took Joe Tessitore to Gian Marcos about a year and a half ago, and he raved about it. He's like the By the way, yeah, I mean, her parents lived on Oakmore Drive, which is right near the Pepsi plant. You know where it is. Anyway, we're up against a break. We have Sean Oren coming up next.